The Dean Show.
Wrestling!
Good evening, and welcome to the Wrestling Show for episode 44. Unfortunately, Josh cannot be with us this week, there will be a wrestling section next week. And there will be... This is in the journal on the main show, and I'm probably going to post a blog in a second about it, but basically what's happening is... This week, you're going to get this Wrestling Show hosted entirely by me. It'll be quick and to the point. It'll be the pay-per-view, which I haven't actually watched, Raw and ECW, and then SmackDown. Will not be on it. SmackDown will not be on it. Because I'm wrestling myself tomorrow, when I would usually watch SmackDown and record the end, so it's just not going to happen. And it's the only way the show's going to get up without being 3 days late. Plus, I still have to make the main show. So that's what's going to happen. Next week, there won't be a main show either, really. There'll be some sort of thing released, hopefully, in place of both. They'll just be like, here is some stuff for you. Supplement! Now then, this week will go as normal, we just won't have Josh. So I'm going to hit the Raw music, and we're going to get straight in... No, the pay-per-view music, and we're going to get straight into the review of the viewing in the pay and the purr and the paper. Other pay-per-views that exist. The new ones that they made up with silly names. Judgment Day. That other one. In the pay-per-view! Okay, I've got the Wikipedia article for this up. For some reason, the promotional poster featured Undertaker and Edge, who was not on the pay-per-view. Let's read this then. TLC, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, was a professional wrestling pay-per-view PPV event produced by World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, which took place on December 13th, 2009 at the AT&T Center in San Antonio, Texas. It featured talent from the Raw, SmackDown, and ECW brands. 7 matches were scheduled for the event. The concept of the show is based around the primary matches of the card, each containing a stipulation utilizing tables, ladders, and chairs as legal weapons. The event's concept was voted by fans via WWE's official website and was chosen over an event with street fight main events and an event featuring a single elimination tournament. Well, that sounds cool. The primary matches included Christian defeating Shelton Benjamin in a ladder match for the ECW Championship, Sheamus defeating John Cena in a tables match to become new WWE Champion, the reigning World Heavyweight Champion The Undertaker defeating Batista in a chair match, lol, to retain his title, and the main event where D-Generation X, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels defeated Chris Jericho on The Big Show in a tables, ladders, and chairs match for the unified WWE Tag Team Championship. Other matches in the card included John Morrison versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE Intercontinental Championship, Michelle McCool versus Mickie James for the WWE Women's Championship, and Randy Orton versus Kofi Kingston. A second TLC Tables, Ladders, and Chairs event is scheduled to take place on December 19th, 2010 at the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. So there's a background. Oh, this is good. TLC, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs feature professional wrestling matches involving different wrestlers from pre-existing scripted feuds, plots, and storylines that played out on Raw, SmackDown, ECW, and WWE Superstars, World Wrestling Entertainment's WWE's television programs. Wrestlers portrayed a hero or a villain as they followed a series of events that built tension and culminated into a wrestling match or series of matches. All wrestlers were from WWE's Raw, SmackDown, and ECW brands, a storyline division in which WWE employees are assigned to a television program of the same name. On the November 23rd episode of Raw, guest host and storyline matchmaker Jesse Ventura arranged an interpromotional breakthrough battle royal in which the winner gained a show. Well, I don't need to go into all that. I just think it's funny how this is ridiculously un-kayfabe. Let's see. Oh, prior to the show airing live on pay-per-view, the crowd in attendance were shown an untelevised match pitting R-Truth versus CM Punk with Luke Gallows in his corner. R-Truth won the match via pinfall. So, to go through the other results, that was the dark match, obviously. It was just a singles match. Then we have Orton versus Kofi Kingston. I'll go through them in order. Christian defeated Shelton Benjamin in a ladder match. Now, that was about 18 minutes, apparently, and it was an absolutely fantastic match from what I hear and don't hear. Christian retaining the ECW Championship, and that's about to get an ARG, because, to be honest, I actually prefer Shelton Benjamin to Christian. I don't care for Christian. Drew McIntyre defeated John Morrison to win the Intercontinental Championship, which was also a singles match with no tables, ladders, or chairs. Right. Defeats the purpose of the pay-per-view, I think. That's obviously really, really bad, because John Morrison is awesome and Drew McIntyre is unimportant. Thus, RARG! Michelle McCool defeated Mickie James to retain the Women's Championship, which I don't care. So the first match was 18 minutes into the show, then the next one was 10, and the next one was about 8. The dark match just says NA for the time. Now, Sheamus defeated John Cena to win the WWE Championship in a 16-minute tables match. Arrgh! See, I hate John Cena. That much is obvious, and you know from the show that I despise John Cena. But Sheamus hasn't had enough build. He has done absolutely nothing to make me care about him, and he's completely irrelevant, and I don't even know who he is or why he exists. He should not be the head of the company. The Undertaker defeated Batista in a chair match to retain the World Heavyweight Championship in 13 minutes. Okay, that's good. Randy Orton defeated Kofi Kingston in a singles match for 13 minutes. Once again, see, by the way, the Divas match, I don't know if I mentioned, but it was also a singles match. So there was one table match, one ladder match, one chair match, and then one TLC match. Right, I think I get the idea now. So let's see, Orton defeated Kofi, whatever, and D-Generation X defeated Jericho to win, for the first time ever, the Unified WWE Tag Team Championships in 22 and a half minutes. DX don't deserve those titles. Well, that's your pay-per-view review. Notice that I didn't put Echo in any of those ARGs. Echo will be reserved for the ARG of the week only. Okay, let's get straight to Raw then next, I think. This one I did watch, so I can provide more in-depth thought. Raw! Raw, wow! Raw, wow! Wow! Raw! Monday Night Raw! Things, stuff, and a delightful kitten. Okay, I'm going to review the Raw now, because it existed. Well, let's see. My notes. Got detailed notes on both Raw and Heat CW. Got both of those for you. Here we go, Raw. See, because I told Thaddeus he's not involved in the wrestling show, he's not even here to pass notes to me, which is just bad. Raw, some guy is the host, and it's also the Slammies. Now the guy makes unfunny jokes, and now Tag Team of the Year award. Jericho win, and that gets a yay. And now this is interesting. Let's discuss that then. Tag Team of the Year, it's like Crime Time, the Hearts, and Priceless, I think, were the others. Jericho obviously were the Tag Team of the Year, so they deserve... Oh, maybe surely DX were in the running? I don't know then. But, maybe not, who knows. Jericho deserved that Tag Team of the Year award, I think. Now Regalite with his dudes, they're back on the same page, and in the same chapter. Calls out Christian for a 6-man tag. Somehow Christian manages to find Kane and the great Kali. Now, is Kane a face or a heel? I don't know. He appears to be a bit of a tweener. I have no idea whether Kane is a face or a heel at this point. He was evil with Rey, then I think he was a face, but then he was like this week on ECW, he seemed a bit heelish. He was like scary, and he was like mean to Goldust, but then he fought Ryder, so I don't really know. And then Kali is evidently back and existing, and that's probably quite a lot bit bad. No one is able to get the great Kali down. Christian in with a flying crossbody. Zeke gets Kane down. Kozlov blind tags himself in. Big boot by Kane, chop by Kali. Regal's dudes buried! Absolutely destroyed by these monsters. That's a great way. This monstrous, a ruthless round table of a team that you've been building up, buried by a team that have never teamed before. Awesome. That's how I love to build my rising stars. Host is back to make jokes that I don't get. I think he was called Dennis Miller. Breakout Star of the Year happens next. Why is Drew McIntyre in that? What has he done? Well, apparently he won a title at the pay-per-view. I didn't realize. Abraham Washing is in it? Okay, this is clearly a farce. This is a farce. Abraham Washing in this thing. I'm gonna leave off the ton at the end of that because that's what Tony Atlas does. Abraham Washing should not be Breakout Star of the Year nominee since he has done nothing in history ever. Now Sheamus wins, which makes sense since he just won the title, which he shouldn't have done though, so it sort of makes sense in after the first ARG happened, so this doesn't get an ARG. You don't get two ARGs. I just like Sheamus, however. Now Cody Rhodes out versus Kofi. Kofi is hurt, but still winning. DiBiase out to attack Kofi. DQ happens there, and now Bourne out for the save. Now we make a tag match, as I predicted just before it happened. Double toupees happen to break, and then... interesting. The host guy comes out, and for some reason randomly gives himself a Slammy award. Didn't understand that at all. Now Bourne with the Hurricane... Bourne with a Hurricane Rana. Lol. Spin kick, I think I said, and then double knees, and then Kofi over with a spinning inverted DDT. I refuse to call these moves by their kayfabe names. Now then, Santino Marella and Vicky Guerrero out to present the next award. Vicky can't get through her announcement because of the huge boos that she's receiving. Santino takes the mic and gets huge pops. The award was for Shocker of the Year, and it went to Punk retiring Jeff Hardy in that cage match. Maybe I missed that match. I didn't realize Punk retired Jeff. I thought Jeff just left or something. I don't know. Oh well, there you go. Okay, so next we have Cena versus Punk. STFU. That's it? Punk tapped? What the hell? What the hell was that? The match is only going for a few minutes. Well, probably because I was fast-forwarding, but... STFU and that's it, Punk just taps. It looked like he was going to get the ropes and then the match was over, so I'm assuming he tapped. Now Cena apologises for losing to Sheamus, and I don't like him, or Sheamus. He says he will not lose another match until he regains the title. Well, that's just great. That's just great, because Cena's going to regain the title, for one, which is horrible, and because Cena's going to go on a win streak and burying everyone on the roster who can't break out through this glass ceiling. This is absolutely great. This is exactly what we need. Cena to go on a monstrous rampage and then re-win the title. Great. Fantastic. Swell job there. Double double E. Remember when Kozlov used to say that? I love double double E. Anyway. Now Triple H out to present the match of the year. And it goes to Triple it goes to HBK, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania 20 whatever we're on 5. Michaels takes the Slammy. And wait a minute, didn't Taker win that match? Shouldn't he get the Slammy? Or be out in this segment somewhere? Man, I don't understand. Now, where's Taker's trophy? Now Triple H puts Michaels over, which is interesting. Says that Michaels is like, he couldn't follow that great match. Michaels wants to wrestle Taker again at Mania 26. We don't get a reply, though. Next is Taker versus Orton. Snake eyes, choke slam, reversed, guillotine leg drop. Now Matt Stryker on commentary asks if Michael Cole can say vintage twice in one match. Cole says he tries not to. Lies. The lie of the week? No. Distraction by Legacy. RKO are on the floor. RKO on the floor. Double count out. Almost, but Orton slips in at 9. So Orton slips in at 9 and beats The Undertaker. Now, Priceless attack The Undertaker, double goozle, pushed over the ropes, and then a choke slam on Orton, and he doesn't reply to Michaels' challenge. Maybe he does. I was watching a repeat of Raw, I think. So it may have had bits cut out of it. No, in fact, I usually watch a repeat. This week I watched the main version, I think. Because the repeat's like 15 minutes shorter than the live. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Vince out to present Raw Guest Host of the Year. Aussie's in the running, which is good. He was the only host I knew. Bob Barker wins. Well, I suppose I sort of knew Bob. Bob Barker wins. Damn. I don't even know who he is, actually. I liked Aussie. But I think Bob Barker was in Happy Gilmore, but that's all I knew him from. He was the presenter of The Price is Right. You know what? That's not even the real Price is Right. Well, maybe it came first. Who knew? I don't even know. But Bruce Forsyth is awesome. That is all. Vince mentions possible future hosts, one of which was The Fink. Ha ha ha. Lol, lol, lol. Now this current host guy wants Bret Hart, who hasn't been on Raw since the Montreal Screwjob, and then Vince just leaves. Interesting, because the fact that they mentioned that means they're maybe going to try to get Hart, though that's very unlikely, I don't know. Maybe that wasn't scripted. Now the host says that Jericho ruins Raw, which is strange, because as far as I'm aware, Jericho is the best wrestler on the show. Did we just have a skip in our recording whilst this screensaver happened? We may have just had a skip in our recording. I don't even understand the question. Now DX come out with their tag titles, Psy versus Jericho. Triple H calls the referee... Oh, this is great. Triple H calls the referee over. HBK gets on all fours. Triple H pushes the ref over HBK, and the ref disqualifies them. DX lose the match, but retain the tag titles. What on earth is this? What the hell? This is a heel tactic. Triple H now apologizes, not realizing he was going to get disqualified. Michaels is like, what did you do? Well, you know what? You just helped him. You got down on your... You got in Matt Hardy position. And he cost them the winner's purse. Because, of course, the winner makes more money than the loser in these fights. Great. Obviously, that doesn't happen anymore in this... In WWE, anyway. Maybe that happens in some places. Did that ever happen? I don't think that actually happened. I think that was kayfabe, because it's scripted. You know what I mean? But that doesn't even happen anymore in kayfabe. But it was funny. Now Jericho gets no more rematches and must leave Raw forever. And now R-Truth, Crime Time, Finlay, Christian, The Hurricane, and such like, all out in DX gear, superkick, and everyone makes Jericho leave. Where is Big Show? Did he just disappear? He was in the match, now he's gone. Why isn't he helping Jericho? Now generic Diva, Carlito, and a topless Masterpiece out to present the award for the extreme moment. Chris Masters has the dancing, bouncing pecs going on. Jeff Hardy wins for jumping off a ladder through a table or something, and Matt out to accept the award. No Tommy Dreamer in this extreme moment then? Carlito attacks Matt Hardy and announces himself the winner. Hydro Lock! That's right, Masters, gimmick infringement, locking in the Hydro Lock, and then Matt knocks out Carlito. Now we have a trailer for the Marine 2. Oh noes. Now Miz, Ryder, and Drew McIntyre out to verse, who? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Drew McIntyre is apparently Intercontinental Champion, I wrote down. Yes. Morrison lost, versus John Morrison, I love his entrance. Yoshi, I love his entrance music. And Mark Henry, I'm liking his current sort of improved gimmick. Standing star press by John Morrison on The Miz. Zack Ryder says woo 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 and almost gets his head kicked off by Yoshitatsu for the three count. Now then, we've gone on the screensaver again, so who knows if we've missed some skipping. Probably not. 14 Diva tag match now, and for some reason they're all wearing dressed up in dresses and stuff. Fast forward happens, now Goldust and MVP to present the award for the Divas, which was a fan voting award. Goldust wants the award for himself, and the Divas are very angry with that for some reason, and he has to leave. Maria wins, but she didn't do anything all year. Strange. Now Batista out to complain and interrupt Maria, and then I think two police with funny hats, like Mountie-style hats, make him leave. Were they in Canada? Even so, they weren't Mounties. I don't know what's going on. The Mounties should have arrested him. Yes, it doesn't matter. Two police make him leave, maybe, I think. I didn't really understand that bit. Next award, Abe Washing, Tony Atlas, and Big Dick Johnson present the award. Why does the Big Dick Johnson, seriously, why does he exist still? I thought this guy was gone. I thought they got rid of this guy. If you don't know, Big Dick Johnson is a male stripper. He's fat, he's wearing a thong, and he's incredibly oily. Why WWE insists on bringing this guy in every now and again, I don't understand. He wears a bow tie and a thong, and that's it. And he oils himself up and dances and is repulsive. Remember the Dicks, the tag team, who were like him, only thin, and got fired because no one liked them? It's for the Oh My moment of the year. Notice that's the Oh My! I think there was like a Michael Cole or a JR type. Well, JR would be like, my God, King! It's supposed to be on Michael Cole's Oh My! That's what they're going for, rather than a Joey Styles Oh My God! Which would have been awesome. This is disappointing. We need Styles here. One of the maybe they can't say Oh My God on this PG thing, but they can have a stripper. One of the nominees was Michael Cole saying vintage Michael Cole or something. It's because he threw up. I don't understand. Don't know when that was. I missed that. So Cole vomiting wins the award. He jumps up, hugs, and possibly humps the king a little bit. Sprints up to the stage, screaming and wooing. Says that Slobberknocker and Oh My God are out, and that it's the era of vintage. Because that's what he says every time. Vintage. Vintage this thing. Vintage. Vintage Michael Cole. It's funny because people have started making fun of that. Cole also mentions prepping for that scene, which is full of arg and kayfabe breaking, and then he randomly hugs oily Big Dick Johnson. Now DX out. No, they're backstage, sorry. Michaels has a toy set, and Triple H breaks it, and now they beat up Hornswoggle. And I said, yeah, sure, Triple H is beating up Michaels and not realizing because he's got a blanket over him or something, and it's a snuggie, and of course, he was beating up Michaels. I wrote that down before it happened. Now Cena and Orton out, the winner is Superstar of the Year, and my recording cut out. Oop. At the start of my ECW recording, it picked up the last few minutes of a repeat of Raw, and I worked out what happened. I saw Cena standing tall as the winner, so it looks like Cena beat Orton and is Superstar of the Year. He won with an FU, I think. I hate WWE. Cena should not be Superstar of the Year. Well, that's your Raw. It was bad. Up next, ECW.
ECW
ECW Extreme G champion, champion wrestler. WWE ECW. What do you think the double U stands for anyway? Two E, so Extreme Championship, and then two U's. Under Ultimate Orangutan? Does that start with a U? I don't know. Here we go, it's the ECW review and review and thing. Okay, here we go, notes. Now we get a Kane recap video and fuzzy screen, and Kane says, "I'm back." Interesting. Now Tiffany out to be irrelevant. Calls out Shelton Benjamin and Christian. I dislike Christian and I hate his music. GM Lady thanks them for their awesome match at TLC, and Benjamin wants a rematch. Tiffany's about to grant it to him, but out comes Regal and his dudes. Huzzah! Regal points out Tiffany's voice is annoying. Yes, thank you. Regal complains about Kane being brought back to ECW by Tiffany. Yes, thank you. Now Tiffany announces that it's for the ECW Homecoming, which is where past ECW superstars, well, past ECW stars will take on the stars of today in some sort of tournament, with the winner getting a title shot. Wait, Kane is a classic ECW wrestler? Kane was there for a cup of coffee. Where is RVD, the Sandman, Sabu, Just Incredible, Psychosis, Balls Mahoney, Roadkill? What's going on here? This is a great concept, but being done horribly. If they actually brought these classic wrestlers back and let them wrestle the stars of today, and one of them would get a title shot and thus get a stint in his show or possibly a new permanent place, that'd be awesome. And they could even use Dreamer as a classic star, since he's not exactly a star of the show anymore. He's been on it once in the last few months, and he jobbed out to a new guy in like a minute. Zeke versus Kozlov is also booked. Wait a minute. So first of all, we get a huge arg for how they're implementing this tournament. Secondly, these guys are both current superstars. Concept fail right there. Double arg. Because this whole thing doesn't make sense. They're both... There are no classic stars in that match. What is going on? What's going on? Now the Hurricane in the ring. New ring announcer Savannah. She's nothing special, but she's a million better than that last one, with the silly dresses, the horrible voice, and the bad emphasis. Hurricane versing, accompanied by the Beautiful Nightmare. I knew someone called Beautiful Nightmare. It's the Ripper. Remember when ECW's announce table was at the side of the ring and the entrance was a narrow little ramp and a tiny stage with metal fences? Bring that back, Plix. Now, isn't Paul Burchill doing what he hates Gregory Helms for doing? Dressing up in a mask and pretending to be someone else? Maybe that's the irony. Bring back Pirate Paul. Pirate Paul! Pirate Paul! Come on, everybody chant this one with me. Pirate Paul! Pirate Paul! Pirate Paul! Eddie Hoover, vacuum cleaner. Moving on, let's see what happens. Where are we? Off the top rope, lands on him, Hurricane Rana, Shining Wizard, reversed with pulling him his back onto your knee. Two count, thank goodness. Now this is what has to happen. Burchill has to lose, and he has to try a new gimmick every week, or every 2 weeks. One week he'll get a match booked, the next week he'll do it. And then eventually he does Pirate Paul. He goes through a whole bunch of different gimmicks trying to get his job back. That's what needs to happen. Tornado DDT occurs, and the Ripper is unmasked. Now where's the disqualification for an unmasking? At least that's what happens in Chikara. Shining Wizard, Hurricane over. Huzzah! Yay! Now, this next bit is hilarious. This is great. After the match, Burchill's walking backstage. I wrote down, ha 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 ha. Burchill is interviewed by backstage interviewer Gregory Helms. Burchill screams and runs away. And the Hurricane, Helms, it's the return of, what's up with that? But he didn't do it in the old voice he used to do it in. What's up with that? Now, as Helms walks away, we find out that under his suit, he is wearing the cape. Well, that ruins the whole thing. They're supposed to play it for the truth and pretend that he isn't, even though we all know he's the Hurricane, and it's obvious because things that happened recently, which I've complained about before, when he was Hurricane Helms and he returned and he wasn't going to, it doesn't matter. Pretend he's not the Hurricane. We know he is. Burchill knows he is, but he can't prove it. Don't see him wearing a cape, because that ruins it. Did he not used to have like a little recorder device or something? I don't know. It doesn't matter. A special mic or something. So that gets an ARG. Now, the whole thing was great until the cape bit. Now, Atlasite to present the Abraham washing shoe. Washing wants slammies. He isn't a wrestler. He doesn't deserve them. Maria out to not be as hot as she used to be, but still pretty hot. Maria is smiling, even though Atlas is being mean to her. She's not playing her part very well. And she should stop wearing the whore rings. And now the show randomly ends, as always. That's the segment randomly ends, as always, after insults and such like. Now Regal out with Kozlov, Zeke out alone to first Kozlov. How is this homecoming? Prediction, Regal turns on Kozlov. Now Regal trips up Kozlov, and Zeke hits the Uranagi, and Regal is with Zeke. Well, I was right there. Now Kozlov grabs Regal by the throats, but Zeke attacks and saves Regal. He attacks the Kozlov. Well, that makes sense. It was Kozlov who started the whole thing by making him an accident and then blaming Zeke. That's what went wrong. Now a jobber in the ring. Sorry, two jobbers in the ring. One is called Jorge. You may remember Jorge from episode 3 of the Dean Show. Versus that new tag team I like so much. Spinning heel kick by the jobber. Only one of them was actually used. The other one was just knocked off the apron at the end. New tag team with a new double team move, which is essentially the ants go marching that the ants do in Chikara. The colony. But that's okay, they win. I like these new guys, and they talk. Now Goldust backstage talking to Yoshi Tatsu, and then Kane happens, and now the main event, Kane versus Ryder. So No Dreamer on the show once again. I know we did get him last week, because it was the first time in ages, and he was squashed. This fool Zack Ryder is doing well, far too well against Kane. The slam de choke, Kane over, that's your ECW. And that's all your wrestling for this week, since I didn't watch SmackDown. Well, it hasn't happened yet. What we will have are the awards. We were meant to have topics, but Josh isn't here. So, up next, it's the ARG of the Week or something. ARG of the Week. Okay, so this week's ARG of the Week for the worst thing that happened is, of course, Sheamus, an unknown, unimportant, randomer, winning the WWE Championship in a pay-per-view. Thus, it gets the ARG, so let's go. ARG! Well, that was absolutely insane. Up next, the Box of Win Award. Here we have the brand new segment full of things that are full of win. This is the Box of Win Award, where we have the segments that are good. This is the best thing of the week in wrestling this week. Here is the Box of Win Award. It is the Box of Win Award full of more win than a box full of win. And this week's Box of Win Award has to be Gregory Helms interview. Up until the cape bit at the end. The segment was awesome. Gregory Helms interviewing Paul Burchill right after Burchill lost to the Hurricane and didn't get his job back as the Ripper and his new superstar and stuff. Right, and Gregory Helms just says, "So how did that go?" Absolutely awesome. That was the best thing this week. So that's it for the wrestling show this week. Don't forget to download the main show, subscribe, download every week, tell your friends, things, stuff, and the like, via merch and all that. Visit thedeanshow.blogspot.com. That's where you'll find all the stuff related to this show and the other part of the show. The show and the things and the merch and the links and the stuff. And there's a poll on there you can take relating to the main show. And, of course, you can email ThaddeusPenguin@hotmail.com with your wrestling news, thoughts on the show, what you like, what you don't like, the main show, this show, things, stuff, and the like. Suggesting topics for things on the other show and whatever you want, and entering the quiz. So what you can do then, I'm going to mention that on this show as well for the listeners of this. We have an AC/DC CD to give away, a High Voltage, as well as an AC/DC fake money. We have We have a 10-year vamp press kit pack with CD and photos and things and stuff. We have a book, Savage Days, Haunted Nights, and we have Scientology stuff. If you send an email to ThaddeusPenguin@hotmail.com or leave a comment on TheOtherDeanShrew.blogspot.com saying that you want something, you will get one of those sent to you. Now then, we also... well, that's actually it for this week. So I'm going to take you out with the thing, our outro, which is a bit butchered when once we got the box of... I had to credit the music from the Box of Win Award, and so I added it in, and then the music in the bit ran out, and it's a bit of a mess now. Maybe it'll be remade someday. The Dean Show Wrestling featured The Dean and Joshua L. Belmonte. Intro and voiceover by Danny from The Sinjay Show. Outro music by Trapdoor from the song What I Had. Box of Wind music from Wiggly vs. Robot by Wiggly. TheDeanShow.blogspot.com.
It's coming next year.